What's up, everybody? And welcome back to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. This is hopefully going to become your number one sports betting podcast that you listen to every week, multiple times a week, because that's where we're going to start offering. We were here with you Monday. We're back on Wednesday. It is Laying the Points with Farley Betts. I am Farley Betts, Chris R. Farley, at Farley Betts across all social media. Fifth place Circa winner last year, not so much this year. Head of betting at the 33rd team, analyst at the BetUS NBA and NFL shows, owner of FarleyBets.com, and host of this podcast. We are an NBA and NFL handicapping podcast for the most part, but we'll touch on all things sports betting, theory, philosophy, how I look at it, why we win, the kind of things that we look at that are a little bit different than others in the handicapping world, which I think it makes us unique. I think it's why we've won so much, 57% career percentage in the NBA. And it's why I love sports betting, because we get to analyze these things, these sports, these human beings in all kinds of different ways. The Stone Cold Steve Austin of sports betting podcast, because we tell it like it is and talk about things that others will not. Probably a little bit of that today, too. Fun show for you all today. Going to get into some topics about sports betting and about the Super Bowl. Gonna talk a little bit about context. It's missing in today's world. It's missing in sports betting and handicapping very often. Context. We need context. Also going to talk about how I rate quarterbacks and why I think it helps me in my handicapping the way that I rate quarterbacks, especially in the playoffs and in big, big games like the Super Bowl. We'll compare those two quarterbacks, some of the matchups in that game, and we'll give out a free pick in the NBA. By the way, FarleyBets.com is live, and we are 4-1 at free picks, in free picks, at FarleyBets.com. You can hit me up, sign up for the free newsletter to get those free picks every day directly to your inbox. Send me a message at FarleyBets on either Instagram, TikTok, or Twitter if you're interested in my premium picks. Guys, gals, we are white hot right now. 6-0 last night in the NBA, plus 8 units, 35-14, plus 27.45 units the last 2 weeks. You multiply anything by 27, and that's what you would have won if you had my premium picks for the last 2 weeks. College basketball is up 10 units. Things are going well. DM me if you're interested in premium picks. Go to FarleyBets.com. Thank you for listening today to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. That's me. And let's get to some of these topics. I like to keep it a nice, tightly packaged podcast every single time we do it. Under 30 minutes usually, or around 30 minutes if I have a lot to say. All right, let's get into a very important topic, which is that context is being lost constantly in sports betting and in handicapping. What do I mean by that? Well, the best sports bettors I know, aka the ones that win more than other sports bettors, are the ones that are able to look at information, data, and question it, right? Not just regurgitate it, not be like, well, this team is really good in this, and this team is really bad at this. Why? Because the data says it. That's why. Yeah, sure. But isn't all data relative? Isn't all data relative to the circumstances at that time, place, situation, environment, people, motivation? Let's take, for example, the Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs. When you look at the Kansas City Chiefs season and you see that they had another stellar season, 14-3, why is that so impressive? Because before the season, everybody's like, I think Kansas City's going to take a step down. Guys, girls, I mean, look, everybody. No more Tyreek Hill. Toughest schedule in the NFL. You know, Pythagorean theorem, preseason, toughest schedule. AFC West. Not happening. Chiefs are going to lose 5-6 games. What did the Chiefs do? A phony loss against the Colts in week 3? Sure. But other than that, who did they face this year? They're the number one offense in the NFL, by the way. The most explosive offense. Of course, they faced the Chargers defense twice. Now, the Chargers defense underperformed a lot this year. Not really against the Chiefs. They played really hard, really competitive. The Chiefs won in 2 3-point games against the Chargers. Chargers defense, Tampa Bay defense, San Francisco defense, Buffalo defense, Tennessee defense when they were still better midway through the season, healthier. Jacksonville's defense, which, as we've seen, capable of causing some problems for teams. The Bengals defense, the Denver Broncos, of course, twice. And then you got what? You got Houston in there, Seattle. Okay. Pretty tough schedule of defenses, right? What about offenses? You can talk a lot about, you can talk about a lot of those same teams. Chargers, good offense this year. Bucks, not so much. Vegas, okay. Buffalo, San Francisco, woo. Cincinnati. Okay, so the offenses that they faced, not as good, right? But they faced some premier defenses from what we can tell. 14-3, number one offense in the NFL. Let's compare that to the Eagles. Because context matters. Like, when you say that the Eagles went 14-3, of course that's impressive. It's always impressive if you go 14-3. Like, you don't just get to the number one seed, right? Like, you still got to take care of business. But let's evaluate. Start off the season with a win against the Lions. We've learned at the end of the season that the Lions are going to be a feisty team moving forward. In week one, defensively, we know how fraudulent the Vikings defense is. And then they beat the Washington Commanders in week three, which the Commanders up and down at that point defensively. Dallas. They beat Dallas with Cooper Rush, a quarterback, 26-17. Pittsburgh, when they had TJ Watt out, when they were slumping. Houston, and they struggled. Washington, again, they lost. Colts struggled, only won by 1 point. Green Bay, good win against Green Bay at home. Excuse me, a lot of points in that game. Green Bay's defense is formidable, though. Put up 40 on Green Bay. That's impressive. Giants, easy win. Chicago, easy win. Dallas lost against Dallas at Dallas. Dallas put up 40 points on them. Saints, one of the better defenses they saw all year, scored 10 points. Of course, they didn't have Jalen Hurts. I get it. And then we know the story about the playoffs, right? They beat the Giants. They dominate my Giants. And then San Francisco. And by the way, even though the scoreboard looks dominant, right? 31-7 win for the Eagles. You look back at that game, the Eagles were not looking good on offense in the first half. They were not. They were not running the ball that effectively. 3 yards per game, 3.5 maybe per carry. San Francisco was playing really well. But, you know, when you have a one-trick pony, not even a one-trick pony at quarterback. They didn't even have a quarterback, you know, in the second half. Things start to open up a little bit, right? And that's when the run game opened up for Philly in the second half. But that San Francisco defense was right there in the game. When it was 7-7, I was like, oh, shit, this is going to be a really good game. I'm just saying, 14-3, which is better, 14-3, the Chiefs? Context matters, people. It's why the best handicappers like Scott Kellen on the BetUS show, when you hear him going over his NFL picks, he's always like, well, against, you know, lower tier teams or against middle of the road teams or against exceptional teams or exceptional defenses, this is how this team does. Yeah, that fucking matters. Okay? So I'm sick of hearing all these regurgitated data and facts about teams. And, you know, obviously a team like the Eagles, like a lot of their stats are going to look pristine. A lot of that is to their credit. And, you know, we've talked very positively about the Philadelphia Eagles on this show plenty of times before. I'm not trying to hate on the birds, but you got to call it like it is. You got to call it like it is. And the Eagles did not have the same sequence of events. I dare say, I don't know if the Eagles have faced any adversity this year other than doing, you know, performing in front of live crowds and doing what they're supposed to do professionally, what they get paid to do, and doing it really well. Sure. Execution was sky high. But where's the pressure? Like, where's the big game moments? Monday Night Football, their one Monday Night Football game, I'm sorry, their second Monday Night Football game, lost to Washington. You know, week two, Monday Night Football against the Vikings after the Vikings beat the Packers. Vikings go to Philly. Pretty predictable that the Vikings were going to lay an egg there. I'm not saying it's not impressive. The Vikings are a good team. They held them to 7 points. But now if you look at who the Eagles have faced offensively, okay, you got the Vikings in there. You got Dallas in there again without Cooper Rush. The second time they faced Dallas, Dallas put up 40 points on them. Green Bay put up 33. I mean, I don't consider any other offense they faced a formidable or exceptional opponent. I don't. So, yeah, their defensive metrics are fantastic. A lot of really porous offensive lines in there too, right? Like, why did I have to listen to people complaining about Michael Strahan's final sack against Brett Favre back in the day? Like, oh, Brett Favre just let him sack him. Okay, if, well, you know. Well, all 22 sacks or however many Strahan had before that were pretty fucking good. So, you're welcome. I mean, Eagles, great job. You know, you have a historical sack rate this season, but look who you faced. I mean, are there worse offensive lines in football than some of these teams? The Cardinals, Texans, the Colts. The Titans really flailed this year. New York's offensive line is young. Chicago, yikes. Just saying. So you got to take things in context, right? The Memphis Grizzlies tonight, they're at home. Things are a little bit different when they're at home. They're a really good ATS team at home. They're 21-3 straight up at home. Yeah, they've lost a few games on the road now. You know, kind of a few letdown moments there for the Memphis Grizzlies. But, nah, really good team at home. Context. Right? We'll see how that manifests in the playoffs for the Memphis Grizzlies. And that's the thing you have to remember, right? When you're evaluating teams, evaluating games, don't just look at things and say, this is their record. These are their stats. You know, they're really high percentage shooting team in basketball, or they always score touchdowns in the red zone. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Take into consideration who they faced, where they were, what happened at that time, who was injured, you know? Qualify all that data so that it makes more sense, so that it's a little bit more situational. It takes another layer of research. It takes another layer of, you know, rigorous comparing all these various situations, but it'll pay big dividends in the end. And now let's get into how I rate quarterbacks, because if you talk about context, context is most important when you're talking about rating quarterbacks. Now, people rate quarterbacks in all kinds of different ways, right? Yeah, you know, you got the Dan Marinos out there who, you know, maybe they didn't win the big dance, but like, hey, statistically, unbelievable, right? And of course, you have to take into account the players that they have around them, the defense that they have, right? Like, if you're rating a quarterback, they can't do it by themselves, right? Like, that's what makes the NFL such a great sport, is because at the end of the day, it is a team sport, right? So a quarterback can't do it all alone. And someone like Dan Marino on a different team, is he probably winning titles? Yeah, probably. Probably. Right? Peyton Manning, same thing, right? We thought maybe Peyton Manning was going to retire with one Super Bowl, won that second one with Denver. But his statistics, regular season Peyton Manning was like nobody else. That matters to me. But let me tell you what matters the most. And this is a pretty good day to talk about it, because TB12, Tom Brady, just announced his official retirement. And it seems official this time, right? It's just him in front of the camera on the beach, obviously thinking about stuff, sends out the video. He's emotional. Good for Tom. To me, it was clear that Tom Brady was kind of done. You know, he wasn't as interested out there in that last game. He didn't look interested against the Cowboys. You know, Micah Parsons hits you a few times, maybe at 45, you start to question how much longer I should do this, right? Or how much longer I want to be the main reason why my team is, you know, winning all these championships. Like, I have to keep on putting in extra work for these teams. Like, he's, you know, probably getting pretty annoyed by that. But to me, that's what makes Tom Brady the GOAT. Tom Brady is the GOAT because he's a winner. Tom Brady is the GOAT. Not just, you know, I know what you're thinking. Yeah, but Chris, he had a crazy good offensive line. He had Bill Belichick. For years, he had great talent at wide receiver. Randy Moss, Gronk, Edelman. True. All those things are true, especially Gronk, right? Probably the most dominant tight end in NFL history. And they had a great connection. Offensive line, definitely true. But here's the thing that people tend to overlook. You know, offensive linemen aren't famous. And how do we know that Gronk was going to be anything special? How do we know that Julian Edelman or Wes Welker was going to be anything special? Maybe, just maybe, the leadership, the precision, the preparation, the discipline, his ability to read defenses, maybe Tom Brady was the biggest part of their success. Maybe. It sure seemed that way to me. I mean, Tom Brady goes to Tampa, pretty loaded team, great defense that year when they won the Super Bowl 2 years ago. But it is well known that Tom Brady, before the Super Bowl, throughout the playoffs, was texting the entire team individually throughout the week, going, we're going to win this game. We're going to fucking cream this team. This is ours to win. You know, just like pumping the team up all week. What Tom Brady does as a leader, off the field, in practice, with his teammates, and most importantly, in big game, high pressure moments, is why he's the GOAT. And it's why he has so many Super Bowl wins. That's what makes, to me, a great quarterback. And that's where I think I can evaluate quarterbacks differently than others. To me, I often compare it to basic training in the military. I was in the military. I was in the Air Force, okay? And I there's probably like a Marine listening, like, you little soft little bitch. not my job in the Air Force wasn't soft. Not something I can talk about on this podcast. It's true. It's true. It just sounds cool to say that, but it's actually true. But everybody had to go through basic training, right? We all trained for war shit. I was in Korea when Kim Jong-il was popping off. Those were some crazy times. We're training for war all the time. I'm really glad I didn't see war, by the way, because I'm a sensitive soul. I think it would have fucked me up a little bit. But anyway, the military, basic training. You know what basic training does? They put the scariest individuals you've ever seen in front of you. They yell at you and intimidate you in ways with words that you've never, ever heard before. They shake you up, right? Like, how ready is this guy to be in the military, to be in war, right? It's training for war. How do you handle that kind of pressure? And the great thing about the military is, just like football, the camaraderie, the community. Like, I could be sweeping the floor, right? I always said this. I could be sweeping the floor, but I knew, even if me and my buddy are just sweeping or you know, cleaning the damn latrine, right, like when I was a lower level airman, I knew that that guy next to me would die for me, that he would have my back. It's a special feeling, very special. And nobody is a commander, you know, a battalion leader, more than the quarterback on the field. Of course, the coach is. Of course, coaches, you know, the coach quarterback tandem is the most important tandem in all of sports, in my opinion. And how they work together or how they don't work together can mean success or failure for a lot of teams. But Tom Brady, and you saw him, he knew when to yell at his players. He knew when to encourage his players. He knew how to amp up his teammates. He knew how to ignore his coach and call his own plays or do an audible or run up on a fourth and one. Right? I mean, Tom was the best at those situations. Big game, high pressure moments, he was a winner. And in my opinion, you look at any sport, you know, You don't have to like him, but LeBron James in those big moments, Kobe Bryant in those big moments, Michael Jordan in those big moments, they shined the brightest, right? They had poise. They had leadership. The team wanted to go to them, not just because they were extremely talented, but because they could handle it, right? And Tom could handle it. Everybody liked Tom. Well, for these two quarterbacks this weekend, here's what I fear for the Philadelphia Eagles, because I said it on Monday's show. The Philadelphia Eagles are so talented that they could, I would say, easily, I mean, maybe I should have prefaced it with easily, but this is a team that's so talented, especially offensive and defensive line. They have so much depth that Jalen Hurts could have a box score similar to what we just saw in his game against the 49ers, 15 for 25, what, like 121 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. He could do that, and the Eagles could win by double digits, for sure. That's how talented the Eagles are. But what I question in this game, in the Super Bowl, and what, you know, and I have to question it as we see Kansas City as an underdog, is if this is a game that's one or even two scores leading into the fourth quarter, do you think that the Eagles defense can stop Patrick Mahomes? Because we've seen Patrick Mahomes in this situation before. Five seasons. Pretty sure he's been to the AFC title game every season that he's been quarterback, starting quarterback. In those moments, big game moments, when he needs to lead his team down the field, it's automatic, isn't it? Like, if the score's 21-17 Philly, there's 3 minutes left, Chiefs have the ball at the 20-yard line, how do you feel if you're an Eagles fan? Probably pretty fucking nervous. And they got Hassan Riddick, they got Fletcher Cox, they got badass sons of bitches on that front seven that are going to be coming after Patrick Mahomes, no doubt about it. And Patrick Mahomes, from Creed Humphrey throughout that offensive line, he has an awesome offensive line to help him out. And he might not be able to move, right? Like, we saw it in the last game. He had a few moments where he didn't move quite the same. Ultimately, it didn't matter. Now, the Eagles' defensive line, their front seven, is probably the best that KC has seen all year. But they've had moments, high-pressure moments, against the Chargers. Even against Jacksonville in the divisional round. Jacksonville was competitive. Jacksonville was surging. The Chiefs have had really tough spots. This team, this group of people, of men, have been in these situations before. From Travis Kelce to Willie Gay to Patrick Mahomes to Creed Humphrey to Andy Reid. They've been here before. And the reason why Patrick Mahomes, to me, qualifies as the next Tom Brady type, or possibly, maybe even Mahomes will surpass Brady for the GOAT, that GOAT designation, is because under pressure, yes, he has a talented team around him. Yes, he has a great coach, and they have a great relationship. You need that for sure. But we know he has that. So under pressure, who do you trust most? Because Jalen Hurts, I would be challenged. I've tried to go back and look at highlights of the Eagles and see a single situation where Jalen Hurts has had to tightly throw a precision pass in a big game, high-pressure moment for the Eagles to win. I haven't seen it all season, because that's how good the Eagles have been. It ain't his fault, but context, the way that I evaluate quarterbacks are how they handle those moments. Do they win in those moments? It's why Eli Manning, you know, now people are like, Eli is awesome. Well, yeah, now you're saying that. You were making fun of him, you know, 10 years ago because, you know, I mean, Eli kind of looked silly, didn't he? But in big game moments, Eli was clutch. Now, does he have the talent level? Like, there are obviously elements that make Patrick Mahomes and a Tom Brady the best outside of just handling high-pressure moments, right? Tom Brady's arm, if you ever saw him in person, which I did, it's phenomenal. I mean, he came out and played quarterback. I saw him in a preseason game that year where he was suspended for the first like six games or so. And he came out third string against the Giants. And that ball was different. those spirals were different. Like, he had a really talented arm. And Patrick Mahomes comes from a family of athletes. He played baseball. He's got like arm talent that's going to last him until he's an old man. He's got the toughness. He's from Texas. Obviously can make all the throws. He can make all the throws on one foot. So, yeah, he obviously has talent. But what I worry about for the Eagles is Jalen Hurts has never been in these big game moments, nor has he proven that he has the arm talent to execute in those big game moments. And last week, he didn't look great. He airmailed a few guys. And maybe something's still wrong with that shoulder, right? Because he didn't look right. I mean, to me, it doesn't look that dissimilar to what I've seen all season. But he didn't look that great. I mean, to me, it was just tighter coverage, right? I mean, he's been throwing wide open dudes all year. Again, not dogging him. But this is probably going to be a different situation. Chris Jones coming off a game where he had two sacks. Kansas City defense can play. They can play at a different level in the playoffs. And again, it's the same thing that I saw in basic training. Some guys in basic training, it's the reality. One guy tried to swallow razor blades in basic training because he couldn't handle, like in my flight, it's called the flight in the Air Force, because he couldn't handle the intensity of the moment, the pressure of the moment. People act differently in these big game moments. And even though that's hard to quantify, you know, I think that's what makes my handicapping different, because I study human psychology. I study human behavior. I always have, and I'm still to this day. Probably helps that I'm married to a psychologist too. But when you study human behavior, you're able to see tendencies and extract reasoning as to why athlete A is probably going to do better than athlete B in this situation. And it ain't rocket science to see how good Patrick Mahomes is in these situations. The Eagles are going to have to get margin and get it quick, but holding down the Chiefs for a full 60 minutes with Patrick Mahomes, I don't know, man. Too bad we can't tease the Chiefs with another team on Super Bowl Sunday. That would be sweet. Don't tease the Chiefs with like a basketball, you know, with like an NBA team. Don't do that. It's a bad bet. It's a bad bet, okay? Don't tease NBA, please. Don't do it. The value is not there. You will lose long term. But I would love the Chiefs in a teaser. You know, I'll tease them up to 7.5. Don't tease the total over. Like, don't tease the total either. I mean, that's a losing game. I don't know all the probabilities. I can't lay them all out, but you're not going to be successful over time. But when you talk about quarterbacks and what separates quarterbacks from others, that's what I look at. Winning, big game moments. Execution in the toughest environments. Nobody did it like Tom Brady. And Patrick Mahomes is following in line. All right, we got a free pickup at FarleyBets.com. Go ahead and check that out over there. We're 4-1, like I said, our free picks at FarleyBets.com so far. But I'll give you another free pick. Since that's already up at FarleyBets.com, and thank you so much for listening to this show. The other premium pick that I send out today is the Washington Wizards. -6. Now, they've won and covered 6 games in a row. They are handling this long road trip that they're on like champs. Now, they haven't faced great competition on this road trip, but still, they're taking care of business, right? They're like the Eagles right now. They're winning and they're covering. So that's okay with us, because the Detroit Pistons fit the bill of another inferior team, the last leg of Washington's road trip. The Pistons have only won and covered in 3 games in January. They look like they've given up on their season. They're still very injured. They don't have a lot of offense. And they've lost by an average margin of 8.4 points per game in January. Oh, by the way, a few of those worst losses were at home. It's at Detroit tonight. Washington is a team that needs to win these games if they want to stay competitive in the Eastern Conference, because that's the kind of season. Like, that's the year it is, right? It's that season. Like, you got to start playing ball now. You got to start winning. Can't be resting players, especially if you're a team like the Wizards. We're probably going to be, 7-8 in the Eastern Conference. Like, they gotta get wins when they can. So, a 2-possession game, Wizards to cover. I like it tonight. 35-14, 69% over the last 2 weeks in NBA. Take that for what you will. Thank you all so much, everybody, for listening to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. I'm going to try to come back for a Friday podcast as well. Talk a little NBA, maybe a few anecdotes, maybe have a guest on. Who knows? Friday, I'll be back. Talk a little bit of sports betting. I'll have a good topic and some bets in mind. Until then, let's win some damn money. Let's fucking go. Kudos and gratefulness to TB12, the GOAT. We'll miss you, Tom. See you all next time on Laying the Points with Farley Betts.